All right, y'all, welcome to another episode of the Blackspiration Podcast, where we don't give a fuck about Mayo metrics around here. We are here to support Black people, as this is a show by Black people for Black people. I am one of your hosts, the infamous Hood Rat with the Heart of Gold himself, your third favorite Washington behind Carrie and Denzel. Sorry, John David, you ain't in the list, nigga. your friendly neighborhood shiesty man, your member of the Certified Yapper Society Midwest chapter. Yes, it is me. And as always, I am
John. That was such a good intro.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Yeah, you ate that. Yeah. That was fab.
And as always, I'm joined by a special guest. This person is a amazing trailblazer in everything that she does. I gotta get the biography. As we are talking to Bae Davis. Bae Davis is a South Central native rooted in liberation, abolition, and love. She explores communal disparities, structural racism, and gender identity through the lens of her own experiences and ancestral informed wordsmanship. From organizing in street corners, organizing on street corners to classrooms and slam stages, and is an internationally recognized trans advocate and powerhouse, Bae ultimately utilizes her work to weave tools of her own survival as offerings to challenge and heal and question the systems and climates we exist in today. Please show some love for Big Money Bae, T.S. Tina Snow, 4K Bae, Bae Davis. Yes. Thank you so much for being on the show. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel really productive. I'm cleaning and cooking and doing good things.
That's good. That's amazing. And I'm glad you've had a very restorative and uplifting day. Before we get into your origin story, I really want to know, like, what have you been, we usually ask people who are gamers, like, what they've been gaming, what they've been playing. I don't know if you're a gamer or not.
I thought you said gang members.
No. I already have to give, like, that's so funny, because I've been having to give my, disclaimer, because one of my usernames is Black Lumberjack with two C's, and I have to let people know I'm not a Crip. I just picked it like that. So I just have to make sure that that's okay.
Yeah, no, I got excited. I thought you said game members. That's right up my alley.
Okay, but no, what have you been... So I just want to know, what have you been watching recently? Like, what have you been binging or anything like that?
Started rewatching CV Universe from the beginning.
Nice.
Which is one of my comfort shows. I started watching True Blood from the beginning also. I feel like very much like it's given rebirth. I feel like I'm always like, if I start rewatching Steam Universe or like True Blood, I feel like it's like, I'm like cocooning, like she's going through something and she's like, I'm like dipping out and I'm like watching these like shows and they're like, yeah, but that's what I've been watching. I don't really play anything. My sister's a gamer though.
Okay. That's what's up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all good. Steven Universe is an amazing show.
I play these niggas.
You play these niggas. Sometimes you gotta play them.
I be playing Switch too. Okay.
Yeah, you know, you gotta play. Sometimes you gotta fool around with the shits, you know.
A lot of niggas deserve to be played. Let's be so for real.
Yeah, you got a point. A lot of niggas do deserve to be played. I really want to get to know you, like your origin story, like how you started out into the pathway that you are, because now you are a self-proclaimed but also like well backed with resources, a cultural curator, you know. And so I really want to know, how'd you get on this pathway of being a cultural curator, coming from where you're from and like really delving into that? And
yeah,
you can talk about anything you want to talk about. You can talk about stuff you don't want, and if there's nothing you don't want to talk about, we ain't gonna talk about it. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately everything started really with like organizing for me. My dad passed away in an interaction with the police when I was really young. okay, well, so maybe things didn't start there. I think before anything else, before I was an organizer, before I was an activist, before I had language for my identity, before I had language for poetry or for artistry, or before I was modeling, I think I was always very, I guess, aware of like my lineage and like the blueprint of that, which is to say that I was very much a child of like gang members and like addicts and like scammers and finessers, and like that's very much my upbringing. And I think I didn't have a lot of the knowledge. I guess I wasn't able to identify anything like external, be like outside of my experience. And I think after my dad passed away was the first time that I could name something outside of like what's directly impacted me or affected me from like these like interpersonal relationships with family. So it was like the first time that I could identify these like structures that I could see have like impacted my lineage and my community actively. Yeah, so then I started organizing. I started doing abolition work when I was really young. I was like maybe like 11 or 12. I did that for a handful of years. And I think I say that to also say that all of the work that I do now, like I might not be like organizing like door to door, like going on buses and like knocking on fucking people's windows and shit anymore, trying to get niggas just like sign flyers, but I still very much identify with that part of my like life, I guess, because that's like what the foundation is, or like what all of my work is like rooted in. But yeah, so I started doing abolition work, started organizing, and then I kind of transitioned out of that into doing poetry. And I think just like growing up in LA and like being in the scene, modeling was always just kind of like around and kind of just like happened just from like being tapped into like networking, whatever the fuck, you know. But I think after transitioning, I started taking it more seriously, because I could feel how differently people received me after transitioning. And it felt like a lot more of a fight. And I feel like maybe not so much now, but when I was younger, if there was ever a fight, it was always very like, well, let's fucking fight then, you know? So yeah. I think that's when I started being like, well, let's really do this modeling shit and shut everybody up. Very like on some like fuck you shit. But yeah, I think that's my origin. I started organizing led to poetry. My mom used to make me write when I was really young. She used to make me like record myself when I got home and like tell stories about my day and like shit like that. And then once I started organizing, I think it was a time where I like needed a way to process all of the many shit that I was learning and experiencing, and then poetry came back up. And then I got paid for real for the first time doing poetry. I remember I was like my first year of college, I was working at Ralph's. Fuck Ralph's. So I was working at a grocery store. It's like a bagger, like doing fucking carts and shit, and I hated it because it was such a hard switch from what I was used to.
That shit is trash.
Yeah, 9-to-5s are the spookiest thing. I wanted to fucking die, nigga. Let's be so for real. Anyways, I ended up doing this poetry thing. Paid me like $3,000. I said, oh, I can make money for real off of poetry. Quit my job immediately. As soon as I saw that check, yeah, God bless me at like 18, 19, but I made that $3,000 last for so long. I thought I was rich. Yeah, got paid $3,000 and then was like, oh, I could get paid for real. I could pay rent for real. And then started doing poetry full time and then started touring. A lot of my work now is touring the college circuit and performing and teaching poetry and workshopping, doing like keynote speaker shit. Sorry, I'm looking rambling. That's not even my origin story no more. But yeah, that's my...
No, that's all tied into you and like what the things you had to go through during that journey. It's wild you made $3,000 stretch in LA. That's wild to me. $3,000.
I'm a hustler. I'm a finesser. I can make anything work. Give me $100. I could throw 3 events.
That's smooth as fuck. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, and just like that experience of like it's always so hard, and not to get like to stay on that, like, how can I say this in the best way possible? People of color all have their different experiences with law enforcement and understanding the system and how it affects us. And I don't want it to dwell on it too much, but it's so unfortunate when you have to experience that at such a young age. I know when I was younger, my brother passed away. He was involved in gangs and gang violence. He passed away. But along that pathway, it's like fucking the police themselves have just been this like, this consistent thing that has always been present in the black and brown communities, especially as like a fucking supervillain, just a supervillain all the time, you know? And so just to have that experience and then have,
yeah, historically,
and to have that person that's like so close to you, like taken from you due to that interaction, and like that interaction with those people who are supposed to be held to a higher regard, is so unfortunate. And so like with like the poetry aspect, you said you were doing it when you were younger, but like, how did you circle back to it when you got older? Was it just like a, like, I need like a way to express myself, or like, I'm sick of these niggas, but I want to do it lyrically. Like, how was it? What was the process of getting back into it?
Yeah. I think my mom was very on purpose of like gifting me poetry when I was really young. Mm. I think my life has always kind of been like an accumulation of like all of these like different stories of like survival and like all of these like many circumstances and how we've like seen the other side of them.
Yeah.
And I think because that's always kind of been, or because that was a truth for me for so long, my mom was very like, here's something to sift through all the many shit that's happening internally, you know?
Yeah.
So I think after my dad passed away, started getting politically educated, started doing like all of this like very real work that was like cracking me open. Mm. I was angry. I think a lot of people, when they start learning just history in general, not even necessarily doing any kind of like liberation work, like if you're a black person, if you're a person of color, it's like infuriating, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was angry. I was confused. It's a spooky thing to be told that you in the Matrix and like, what the, you know what I mean?
For sure. For real.
Yeah. So then I started doing poetry again because I needed something. Like my dad had just passed away. My mom was still on drugs. I think I was like living by myself at the time and like raising my little sister. Like I needed tools. I needed things. I needed something.
Yeah.
Outside of myself to make sense, you know? And so actually the first poem I ever wrote that I like would perform for folks was a poem about my dad. And then I kind of became like the like resident poet of the like org that I worked with. Mm-hmm. Damn, I don't know what I was saying. But yeah.
You could. You could.
I started talking about you again.
Yeah, yeah. That's great to hear. Like, you just, like, it just was like, you needed that outlet. You always knew that outlet was there, and you already tapped into it. And now, like, now, fast forward, you're doing modeling. Like, you've been on a few covers, which is dope as hell. You've had some articles written about you in the LA Times, and all these things now. And, like,
not you research me.
I gotta research, you know, I gotta research everybody. I can't just be like, hey, bro, you wanna come on? I don't know.
Don't research.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of interviews, and they're like, okay, so what do you do? Who are you? What's going on? And I'm like, oh, y'all know nothing about
That's so funny, because it's like, hey, we hit you up to come in on our platform and shit, but what is it you do again? Like, because. Mm-hmm.
All the time. Oh my God, all the time. I've done the same interview so many times. It's kind of crazy. Same questions, same answers, same like, this is what I do. This is what I've been doing. This is who I am. This is the trajectory. This is what, like,
yeah,
the things I'm working on. Like, it's always the same kind of like, because niggas don't be, it's not, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. So yeah.
Thank you, essentially.
No. Yeah, of course. So like, I really want to know, like, far as like modeling, because like modeling is a thing that like, as somebody who realized he was kind of cute at 30, like I've never thought modeling was a thing to be a pathway. So like, and one thing that you do too is like, when you're, at least from the things I've read and researched, you're a person who's like, when you're in a space, you're like, I'm here, I'm fucking here, what's up with it, you know, like what do you embody when you're in that modeling space, or in that, or in that mode when you're in these shoots, or even just like going into a space where it's like, all right, I need to network, so I need to let motherfuckers know I'm here, what's up with it, I'm trying to get something shaken, I'm trying to make some cheese. Like, how do you, like, what goes through your head when you're doing that?
Yeah, this is my favorite shit. well, shit, I mean, I think, like, truth, I think I never had an option of anything else other than standing on what the fuck it is, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I think because of the intersections of my identity, if I walk into almost any room, tail between my legs, like, niggas are gonna step on me. And that's just, mm-hmm. that's just truth, almost. If I go to the grocery store and I'm afraid, you know, or if I'm too small, or if I look like I'm a bitch that could get punked, I'm gonna get punked, or I'm gonna get, like, what's the fucking word? Where it's, damn, am I dumb?
You got it. It's at the tip of your
tongue. Like, when you, when they do something mean to you because of, like, who you are, what's it? Not racial, but it's,
Profiling,
but it's, like, they threw a can in his head because he was gay. So it's like a,
targeted?
Yes. Okay, whatever. It don't even matter. But if I go in looking like a punk, that's what's going to happen to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So essentially, I think, like, I always move in spaces, like, showing up for real, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I always want to show up as my authentic self, one, but I also, like, I don't know, I love walking around the room and, like, chit-chatting and hearing with everybody. Like, I want to go and, like, introduce myself to everybody. I want to laugh. I want to have fun. Like, I want to be, like, you know, that's just, I think that's, like, who I am personality-wise, like, authentically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I know, how do I say this? Because I know I show up in spaces as a Black trans woman, but also like a heavily tattooed Black trans woman, and like also like a bitch that's from the hood. You know what I mean? Like, I know that like I kind of got to show up in space in a way that like I don't want to say exerting myself, but like making some kind of like real connection where like you look at me in my eyes and are kind of like humanizing me,
mm-hmm.
And like connecting with me. Cause if not, like, especially in like industry spaces or like on mm-hmm. sets, like will not only be like overlooked, but dehumanized and kind of like treated like shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I want you to know my fucking name, shake my hand and look at me in my eyes and laugh with me and connect with me about some kind of story. Yeah. So that like, when they try to put me in some shit that's gonna make me look crazy, or when this bitch is beating my face and make me look like a drag queen, or like when I'm advocating for myself and I say I can't wear this certain thing, or I have to do my hair a certain way, or like mm-hmm. I can't pose a certain way, or like whatever, like because people have already like connected with me, then it's like it's easier to navigate space, I guess. And I think that kind of is what's threaded through all of the work that I do in poetry and modeling and showing up in spaces. Like, I know my work as an artist specifically is that like if I can make somebody that doesn't belong to any of the intersections of my identity relate to my story, if I can do a poem and I can make a country bumpkin fucking 40-year-old white man or a white woman connect to a story that I just did about being like loved as a trans person and the disparities and like hardships of that, then I've I've won. I've done my job. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you just identified and presented to a story that my experience has almost no connections to you. You know what I mean? And I think that's how, like, liberation work is kind of, like, translated into everything else for me. You know, like, if I can use my lived experience and my narrative, my story, as a way to offer tools to other folks of, like, my own survival, but also to, like, connect and build that bridge between me and people that don't necessarily identify with me, and not even don't identify with me. There's so many times where I've been thrown up to do poems in spaces where, like, niggas are not queer. Nobody is trans. Yeah. People don't even be black sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. I a lot of times schools will bring me out to spaces where they don't receive me well, or it's like not like, how do I say this? A lot of times I get brought out to spaces because they're like small town, like low-key racist or like transphobic spaces, and they're like, mm-hmm. well, bring Bae because she going da 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 da. So it happens often that I get up on a mic and it's a room full of people that if you saw me in the alley, it would be cracking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So if I can reach those people through a poem, or if I can reach those people on set, or if I can bridge that gap in some way, you know what I mean? Just by my gift of gab, then that's what I'm doing. Damn, I ranted. I don't even remember what you asked me.
No, that's fine. That's you literally... You literally encapsulated everything about the question. It's like, how do you come in these spaces? Okay. You said you come in because you're a liberator at heart.
Yeah.
And liberation is anarchy. Liberation is radical. Liberation is things that go against the norm. And you're already going against the norm just existing and breathing, living. You wake up every day going against the preconceived notion of what it means to be a person in the society that we are currently living in. And so I 1,000% feel that shit. And that's amazing to hear that you just is like, you know, that to relate to people who have people relate to you or understand where you're coming from for even if it is for like a brief moment, for like 2 minutes or whatever of that interaction, they're relating to you. That's the most important thing. And that's a key thing that a lot of folks don't get, is the way to actually make a little bit of change, you know, because I hate when like white people be like, you know what, Cortez, you all right, you know, like I hate when I come across a white dude that's like that, because
no,
because in my first thought is always, what the fuck you mean I'm all right for a nigga, and then I get mad. But it's like, no, mm-hmm. I changed their like you said, I changed their perspective on certain black people.
I mean, also, I'm not gonna cap, fuck them niggas too. I'm not
checking. Oh yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Definitely okay,
yeah,
because I know my example was white people, but also very much
I get you yeah. Oh, we can have a conversation all day about that. But I get that, and I understand that. And like, one thing that I feel like you touched on too is like, the more you move up in spaces and in places, the less you see of people from where we come mm-hmm. from. The less you see and it's so odd, because I experienced that at like getting out of college and going and working in nonprofits, and people come across you in spaces, and I'm talking, and I talk to some coworkers who are black, and I'm like, man, there's like, how you like this space? Because it's a coworking space. I'm like, oh, it's cool, you know, but I just don't like. And I told him, I was like, don't you feel like sometimes you just want to slap the shit out of a nigga that just don't say shit when they walk by you, or like move in front of you, or do this, or like, you know, just little shit that's like rude. Like invading your personal space because they have to get their thing done, which is, and that could be something as simple as like washing out a bowl or getting a cup of coffee or whatever. But when I said that, they looked at me shocked, and I'm like, oh, not like shocked, like, oh my God, that's horror. They're like, oh, he bought that. And it's like, yeah, just because I'm up in the space, that don't mean I ain't gonna slap a nigga in the face, like, you know, or tell somebody mm-hmm. like, hey, like, I'm gonna tell you at first, nice, like, hey, look, listen. I don't appreciate you doing that, you know. But the second time come around, it's like, okay, so now you want me to do that. So I guess I'm gonna have to tell you what like it is. But
finding that balance also is so hard for me. Mm-hmm. So hard for me. Like, I think I worked really hard to, like, code switch for a really long time.
Yeah.
And not just code switch, but just hide parts of my identity as a whole. Like, I was so ashamed for so long of, like, being a bitch that grew up on Section 8 or, like, on WIC or, like, being from South Central or, like, my parents being whatever or, like, me doing, you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of those parts, It's barely been till now, for real, that I am learning how to balance the two. Because I also think a lot of those parts of my identity are also kind of, like, connected to a lot of, like, trauma-type things. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've been thinking about being from the hood, and I'm like, damn, like, this is also something that I still live in South Central. You know what I mean? Like, this is still something that I'm, like, actively trying to not only, like, heal from, but to, like, I want to move still. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still, you know what I mean? Like, and I think sometimes because that's also a truth, it's hard for the two to exist in one place, like, how to, like, respect it and appreciate it and, like, the things that have made me how and who I am, and then also, like, being able to acknowledge, like, structurally how they've deeply negatively impacted me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit is hard for me.
Yeah,
a lot. Cause sometimes I've been feeling bad. Like, I'm like, damn. Like, sometimes I talk about fighting when I'm in, like, in social justice spaces, like with a bunch of, like, restorative justice type people.
Yeah,
and I'd be like, damn. Like, I'm talking about beating somebody's ass. Y'all want to have a conversation in a healing circle? Now I feel bad. Like,
because real talk, you'd be like, hey, sometimes a couple niggas just gotta fight, bro. You just gotta
some people just need to get beat up. Not enough people are getting. I don't want to post about it. I don't want to cancel you. I don't want to tell the story on Instagram. I want to meet you in the parking lot of Burger King and fucking squash it. You know what I mean? Like, let's get back. Let's get back to fighting in parking lots. Why are we not doing that no more?
Hey, the one
what
thing...
What the fuck?
The one thing the white man in the 20s had that they did a good job was squabbling. They'd be in them like this. And they'd take care of business. They'd take care of business. But, like...
No, this is so funny.
I think... And the funniest thing about that is, like, I think it's the fear, like... Coming from a place where we know, you like, you say the wrong thing, there's 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to step to you, and it's probably going to lead to a fight. But, like, people who've never been in those spaces, like, I'll hear people talk to each other or people, like, talk to customer service folks, and I'll be like, oh, my God, you talk to
you
them like
you always tell when someone hasn't get beat up before. You can tell.
Yeah.
They crazy. They crazy as hell.
Yeah.
That's it. It gags me still. Yeah. I don't understand. That's another time, actually, talking about being in restorative justice type spaces. Like, I definitely have worked with people before where, like, the way you be chatting, any other space, it would be cracking right now. But because we're, like, in this space, it's, like, supposed to be, like, this, like, conversation or whatever.
Yes.
And, like, fundamentally, I don't want to talk to you, friend. I want to, you know?
Yes.
Fuck.
Yes. And that's the beauty of, like, these spaces that you're in, like, these restorative justice spaces. Like, I know you can find, like, you're like, okay, I know this solves problems, but 9 times out of 10, it can lead to more problems because people are like, I got to get my lick back. And lick backs always end up just causing a cyclical experience for everyone. Mm-hmm. So, like... Being in these restorative justice spaces, like, how have you been able to really uproot a lot of that? Like, because I know it's still there, you know, because clearly we just had a good moment about it, because that feels good. But, like, how have you been able to uproot a lot of that, a lot of that notion and understand, like, and kind of get, like, take some of those healthier practices of de-escalation or problem solving to, like, back to your community?
It's been a journey. It has been a journey, caboodles. Like, I think I think it's interesting because the way I was raised was very specific. Mm-hmm. I think gangbanging in LA and the politic behind it is also very specific. Say that to say, I think if you grew up in a hood in LA, if you're affiliated in almost any kind of way, which most of us are, you grow up with you grow up with very specific rules, you know, like you move like this, you can and can't say this, you can and can't wear that, you can and can't go here at this time or this place for whatever, you know, you do and don't associate with these people. It's very specific rules. It's very specific principle. You don't fight somebody when they with this person. You don't do this to this person. It's very specific. You know, there's a very, like, I guess, like a foundation of morality. And I know that sounds kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. That I learned from being raised by like hood niggas for real, that I think has kind of like transitioned well into community work. And I say that to say that, like, I think it was easy for me to, like, I guess, like, lock in, you know, because I think I had already learned this, like, very specific idea of, like, loyalty and, like, preservation, I guess, but on some, like, gang shit. And then when I learned it on some, like, liberation, like, this is how we preserve each other, and this is how we grow and stretch and free each other, I think it felt like I just had more tools from what I already have been kind of brought up on, you know. I think that's it.
Yeah. That's great. And it sounds like that underlining, like, cold or morality is where a lot of people can find that common ground and find that understanding. And it's so beautiful because in a lot of ways, the places where it's the most, where it can feel the most hostility and the most aggression and all this stuff is the places where folks will find more common ground, you know, like, and it's so interesting because when we think about the dichotomy of this, of that world to, like, Congress, think about, like, Congress, the way they navigate the world, you can tell a lot of those folks don't have a moral bottom line because they're able to operate and navigate these spaces, voting and doing all these things and getting money from lobbyists in a way that is not that same functionality or that same space. And it's upsetting to see that because it's a lot more, I know a lot more street niggas that got more morals than a lot of these congressmen who've been politicians for years. And so, I can relate from a perspective of where I was raised, but, like, I could never, like, but that still isn't, like, the same way of, like, the experiences you've had too, because, like, being the, like, epicenter, being from the epicenter, or, like, the, I want to say, like, the, what is it? Not the French, the flagship of gang culture, if you will, the headquarters. It's very different because, like, I mean, in my city, it wasn't like, there was neighborhoods you couldn't go to, but, like, if my city was so small, niggas would catch you at Walmart and beat you up in front of your grandma. And it's just like,
ooh.
Yeah, and they'd beat you up in front of your grandma.
Oh, Walmart. No.
Depending on,
I was talking to, I was talking to a nigga from Baltimore. Oh my God. He was telling me about, like, okay, so he was like, little hood boy from Baltimore, da 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 da, changing his life around. My favorite man is like a hood nigga that's trying to change his life or that has changed his life. Mm. My favorite thing. Anyways, so I'm talking to this boy, and he was telling me about some of the, like, his, like, hood stories or, like, some of the shit that he'd be doing. And he was like, yeah, we'll beat your ass in front of your daughter and your mom and your cousin. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, we don't do that here. No shade. Like, if you with your kids, if you with your mom, you with an elder, it's given like, I'm gonna catch you next time. Like, I see you, fuck you, like, leave your mom in the car, come back. You know what I mean? Like, we got very specific. That shit gagged me. I sit in front of your mom, in front of your granny at Walmart is crazy.
And it all, and it also, but it depended on the severity of the offense that they did before. So like, if say like, say like, if some people got to fighting somewhere, if they see you at Walmart with your grandma, they'll talk shit to you. They'll talk shit to you in front of your grandma and be like, yeah, we caught you this time, you know, woo woo, da da da. But it depends. Damn. But if you did like, if you did some heinous shit, like y'all scrapping and then his mom broke it up and you slapped his mom, oh, violation. You immediately on site at any point in time. Like, you know, and I've had homies do that, and it's so wild. And it's so wild because I wasn't even that deep. I wasn't even deep in it like that. I was just like there with them, of course, clearly, you know, being there, experienced trauma, which is the worst shit I think about the street shit is that it's worse for a nigga that ain't really the jump off one to still be there, because you still get the trauma and you still get all that, but you ain't got the stories of like, I popped off on woo woo woo. you just there being like,
honestly, facts.
You're like, me and my homies was there, and he was like, hey, watch this, and then he just went off and he just shot seven niggas. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know what to do about that, and it's like, and then you just, now I got PTSD every time I pull out of the gas station, because it is a motherfucker. It is. But I kind of wanted to circle back to you speaking about going to these colleges and speaking to these folks, because it kind of reminded me of how, like, back in the day of watching, like, old videos of, like, James Baldwin or Muhammad Ali, where they would go to colleges and speak to folks. And so, and how was, like, those experiences of those cultures of folks who are completely opposite of who they were? How have you been able to, like, when you're in those spaces, how have you been able to, like, you know, honestly, like, keep your composure in those spaces? Because I know it can be, like, very thought-provoking and very, like kind of like poking a bear type shit, you know?
Shit, I mean, it's my job. Like, and not just my job because it, like, pays me, but I think the way that I've learned how to engage with people in general has been from that point of view, has been from, like, I guess, like, on a communal level, like, this is my job to show up in spaces and to kind of, like, poke the bear, you know?
Yeah,
like, I mean, that's all I really knew for a long time, keep it a bean. Like, I think it took me a minute to learn how to connect with people on, like, an interpersonal level. And, like, to build those relationships. Like, it's a lot easier for me to get into a room and to address a room in its entirety opposed to, like, on an individual basis, I guess. So I think when I get into those spaces, like, going onto these campuses or being in spaces where I'm, like, brought in as, like, a response to, I guess, like, the conditions of, like, their space or their campus or whatever, like, it feels good to me, or it feels, like, natural to me to be the person that, like, gets on the mic and is like, yeah, we're here. We're here and very loud and titties out and having fun, you know, and making a ruckus. I also think that every time I've been to a campus, even if structurally the space isn't something that celebrates me or my community or any parts of my identity, there's always a pocket of folks that belong to community or resonate or receive me well. So I guess I say that to say, like, even when it has been spooky on campus, like, there's also been times where I've been in, like, it's gotten very scary before. Like, it's been, like, I'm far from home. I'm very young. Niggas are very racist here. Like, we're in the middle of nowhere. I've done shows, like, in fucking forests before. Like, you gotta, like, walk 30 minutes into some woods. Spooky shit. Very spooky shit. Yeah. But it's always, like, 20. I mean, shit, sometimes it's 5. But it's always a handful of, like, little queer kids. You know what I mean? It's always a handful of people of color there that are, like, right here with me while I'm on the mic. And I feel like that's always what makes it make the most sense for me, you know, because I'm like, I'm popping in for a couple of hours or for a couple of days. Nigga, you live here. You know what I mean? And like, if I could pop in and be a mirror to you for a couple of hours and chat and talk to you about my survival and give you these tools and excite you about fucking moving forward as a queer person or as a black person in these mania spaces, then like that's how I keep my composure for real. Like, that's how I'm like, yeah, this makes sense to be in this space and to do this work. Yeah, I love the kids. Sometimes the kids be weird. I'm a little weird too though, so
yeah. It's no fun being normal. You got it's fun being weird.
It's not. I don't know what normal. I wish Ooh, I wish I knew what that shit was.
It's normal, according to society standards. It's like the nigga who buy Dockers from the Docker store. So,
I'm not gonna lie. I kind of want that.
You want that normal?
Yeah.
Boring. You want it boring.
So bad. Boring. Ain't shit going on.
Ain't shit popping.
Silent.
Yeah.
You know?
Predictable. That's scary though. Like, boring is scary. Like, I
know.
It's the most scariest thing because it's like, this is it. And it's like, yeah, but like, think about all the shit you overcame to get to this point. And it's like, yeah, boring is nice. Like, I want to go to the farmer's market. I want to go to this.
I want my kids to have the most boring fucking life.
Oh.
I don't want my kids to know shit about shit.
I want my kids, not only that, I want my kids to be bad at sports. I want my kids to be them type of kids.
Wow.
Just them regular.
Wow. Wait, say more. What you mean?
Like, bad at sports, so I ain't got to drive them. Like, I don't want to be one of those sports parents, like, driving them around. Like, oh, I got 5 meets today. What the fuck that mean I got to do this Saturday? No, I want my kid to be
like. You don't like sports?
I like sports, but I don't want to take nobody to go play sports. Kids sports is trash. You ever watch kids play sports?
Wow.
You ever watch toddlers? You ever watch toddlers play soccer?
If that's your baby.
Yeah, it's my baby. But like, look, listen, the first time, this first and second time, the first two times or three times, cute as fuck. This eighth time, I got shit to do. Come on now.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah. You drop them off. You come back in an hour.
You can't do that, though.
No?
No, because I guess, I don't know. It's like this unwritten rule where you got to watch them. Like, some parents should be watching their kids and shit. Yeah, I don't know about
that. No, I'm finna leave. I'll be back. Yeah. I'll be back, and I'll be back with a little snack.
I gotta go. I got some other shit to do.
I'll be back.
Yeah. But boring does seem nice. Boring seems cool. Normal, boring routine is great, I guess. who were like in these spaces, because like you are like multifaceted, you do a bunch of shit, but like, who were some influences that you've had along the way, and or just now in general, of people that you like be like, yes, that's the type of shit I want to embody, or these are the type of motherfuckers that I really want to like look more into, research more about?
I feel like I have a lot of things to say and I don't know how to direct them all through so they make sense when I say them. I think my first and what continues to be my inspiration is like all of the women in my life. I think my mom was the first person that I like identified with and was able to make sense of my own experiences through. And then I think once my like consciousness kind of like expanded and I was able to like see that through my like lineage and like my ancestors, I think that's always just been what has inspired me. Like, I've always dressed like my aunties when they was my age. I make my coffee the same way. I learned how to do my lashes from my granny. You know what I mean? Like, like these are the women that have like the women and the people that have like fundamentally shaped the person and the woman that I am. I also think about like the women that like taught me. Like I'm thinking about like the people that I like organized under when I was young. And I think so I've been practicing a traditionally African religion for the past 3, maybe 4 years now. Ooh, maybe 5 years. I've been a crown priest for 2, going on 3 years maybe, but practicing for the past like 5 years.
Okay.
And I think that has just like amplified my I guess like appreciation for my lineage and my ancestors. And then also like now I have this new, like this whole new set of like spiritual tools. And I think those are the, like my ochas are who, my ochas, my egun, my ancestors, like these are the people that I'm actively inspired by and looking to and consulting with and venting to and tapping into for real. You know what I mean? Like, I vented to my like homie recently and I realized it was the first time that I like had went to like somebody that was alive for advice in like years. Like the people that I talk to is like the niggas that's behind me. You know what I mean? Like all my folks is dead. Like all my folks is dead or like fucking orishas. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's who inspired me. My mom inspired me. My grannies inspired me. My tias, my aunties, my like tias that weren't really my tias, but they were, you know, like that's, yeah. Them is my folks, the women that politically educated me.
Nice. It sounds like a good mix of, honestly, it sounds really just like deeply rooted in your community and your circle. And those roots that extend beyond just the current generations, but prior, which is amazing to hear because it's good to hear when people are able to connect and delve deeper into their roots, like their deeper roots than just like here stateside, because a lot of times it's hard to just it's hard for us to find those a lot of times, you know? In some ways it's more easier to do, but it's still very, very, very hard to find.
No, that shit is laboring.
Yeah,
that shit is
very laboring. Yeah, you can't 23andMe that shit. Like, yeah, you can 23andMe that. And like, yeah, you're gonna meet some
even cousins. Now, I can't trace my shit back further than my great grandparents on both sides, damn near.
Wow.
Like that's as good as it get for me. My great grandpa was a slave. And after that, I don't know nothing about his family. I don't know. My granny be like, he from Louisiana. And literally I said like that's as deep as it get, bro.
So when you say you from Louisiana, you got folks from Louisiana, you be like, I'm a little Creole. That's what you be selling peace with sometimes.
I'm not gonna lie, I do. No one's ever called me on that. I promise you. Yes, I'll be Dominican sometimes too. Sometimes I'll be Puerto Rican. If I'm in New York, I'll be Dominican. I'll be Caloque. I'll be Tostones. What else they got? Pastelitos. That'd be.
That's what's up. You gotta know how to blend. You gotta know how to blend in. You gotta know how to navigate all communities.
I just stopped being Dominican when it started getting cold outside. I was Dominican all summer.
That's so we getting close to the the end of the episode. So this is a time where we let the guests give off some words of affirmation, some like some mantras you like to chant to yourself to keep yourself going, or just like something you think the listeners and the watch and the viewers should, you know, hear to keep them going and keep them keeping them up on track. And I was gonna say on the horse, get back on the horse, but I guess yeah. So
yeah, I love being on the horse.
Yeah.
I think shit, I don't even know. I think my biggest advice, I guess, I feel like a lot of my work revolves around giving folks the tools that I've used. And I think my greatest tool has been community. And I know that sounds a little cliche, but I think the sooner you find a spiritual home, I think the sooner you find a spiritual court, I think the sooner you find ancestral roots, I feel like as soon as you find a practice that you can work and make sense for you, I feel like the sooner you find like circles that celebrate and challenge you and receive you and celebrate you, I think that's what has always shifted the trajectory of my life and my healing. You know, like I wouldn't have transitioned if it wasn't for the community that I found in the Bay Area. You know, I wouldn't have all these new spiritual tools if it wasn't for DLA that I was in. I wouldn't have fucking known history or whatever if it wasn't for the folks that politically educated me when I was young. You know, I wouldn't have poetry if it wasn't for my mom, you know. So yeah, I guess like that's really it. Like, I think the sooner you find spaces that make sense for you, the easier everything else gets. And the easier it is to fight everything else. I feel like the more tools you put in your bag is like, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, Bay, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate you coming. Even though we ran into some technical issues, I still feel like this is a good time and had a great conversation. Where can the people find you on the socials, and what can they expect when they catch you either on the stage or on another cover of another magazine, or, you know, at the Met Gala sometime soon? Fingers crossed we get you at the Met.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? That would be amazing.
Yeah, but what can they expect when they come across you and your content and everything about you?
I'm on Instagram, Twitter as Bay Davis. I'm pretty sure, for sure, my Instagram is Bay Davis. I think it's the same for Twitter. I think everywhere that I am, or every space that's like I'm a part of that I'm curating, or whatever, every space that I'm a part of, I think like I try really hard to there's no way to like actually promise safe space to really anyone, you know, because it looks so different for everybody. But I think my goal is to always help curate spaces that ensure that we're checking in with ourselves, and are creating safer and more sustainable spaces for ourselves and for others, and getting free for real. Like, I feel like my goal is always to get as free as possible and create spaces where that's possible. So yeah, if you come to a show, we're going to scream and we're going to laugh and we're going to do poems and maybe drink, you know?
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you again. If you all want to stay on top of the shit we got going on over here, Blackspiration on Twitter, Blackspiration Pod on Instagram, Blackspiration on YouTube. We got YouTube. We on there. Twitch too. Please come. I'm always here. I ain't doing shit. But thank you so much for listening to this episode, watching this episode. As always, be happy, drink some water. My gamers keep gaming, and I hope you left this episode feeling inspired. Peace.